turn with me in your Bibles to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to begin in Genesis 2 this morning in verses 1 to 3, and we'll branch out from there as we look at some other important passages that have to deal with this critically important question of rest. I want to begin with a question for you this morning. When's the last time you truly felt rested? I mean, deeply, comprehensively rested. And if you can think of that moment and that time, I wonder why it was that you felt that way. For me, as I think about my life and think about that question, I can't always correlate restedness with sleep. Sometimes I get a good night's sleep, but I still don't wake up feeling rested. Sometimes I come to church and we have a good worship service and I'm glad to be around the people of God, but I still sometimes don't feel rested. So it's caused me to think a lot about what it means to be rested, truly and deeply rested in Christ. And I think one of the reasons that maybe some of us struggle with that deep sense of rest is that we're not just bodies. Therefore, the answer to restedness isn't just sleep. We're body, we're mind, and we're soul in a mysterious union. And if we would be rested, we're looking for those moments in our life where all three of those things are coming together in the way that God intended them to find rest and refreshment. And boy, do we need it. I prayed about it a moment ago. We've all watched it. I can sense it even in the tenor of the way we are this morning, that we are tired. We're fed up. I'm tired of what we're seeing in the world. It hurts. It's painful. We don't know the answer. We don't know the way out. And that can weigh on you. It keeps you up at night. It makes your mind spin in circles. And it makes your soul unstable. And so it's no wonder that we sometimes, especially in moments like this, don't find rest. There is rest for our souls, though. And I want to talk about that beginning in Genesis this morning. I also want to say, if you're a person that's visiting with us today, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'm glad you're here. This is where I want you to be. I want you to hear the Word of God. But I want to say, especially to you as you listen today, that there is no way you will find deep refreshment without Jesus. There's just no way. Even those of us who have Jesus, it's a battle. St. Augustine once said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." And that's a truth I want you to take with you this morning. If you haven't ever heard that or haven't thought about that, what Augustine is reminding us of is that we were made to be conformed to the image of God. And the ways that we're not makes us restless. And we struggle with that. And frankly, even those of us in the church, we struggle with that too as well. Our nation, in fact, was founded upon this great idea, this Protestant work ethic idea. And so we are a hardworking bunch of people in this nation. Some of you might have heard the phrase, "time is money." Well, that came from one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin. I'm going to put up a quote on the board for him because I want to use it to slingshot into Genesis. But Benjamin Franklin said, "Remember, the time is money. He that can earn 10 shillings a day by his labor and goes abroad or sits idle one half of that day, though he spends but sixpence during his diversion or idleness, ought not to reckon that the only expense. He has really spent, or rather thrown away, 5 shillings besides." Remember that money is the prolific generating nature. Now, in defense of Franklin, he's talking about an economic principle here. But unfortunately, the economic principle of time is money seeps into our lives. And we start to feel like if we're not working, then we're not doing something that's of value, especially in the eyes of God. And that turns us into workaholics. And we feel like if it's not work, it's a waste of time. But I want to ask a question about what Franklin said there. If you're not spending your time working, are you wasting your time? Really? What if time not spent earning money is spent developing friendships or enriching your family or deepening your devotion to God or restoring your mind and your body and your soul for later labors? Is that a waste? I don't think so. I want us to see this morning that God gave us the gift of rest to aid us in our deep need for ongoing refreshment. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2 this morning. You know about Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And the first chapter of the Bible is the story of beginnings. It is foundational for everything that occurs after that point. God describes what perfect creation is supposed to look like. And he embeds things into his creative design that are supposed to be modeled in the way that we live out our lives today. We saw last week, one of those things is work. Work is good. Work existed before sin did. When we go to work, we're doing what God made us to do. But also in that first week of creation, God embedded this other principle, the principle of rest. And he's telling us that not only should we work according to his design, but we must rest according to his design as well. So would you listen as I read from Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to be reading the first three verses of Genesis chapter 2. I want you to understand that this is God's word. It doesn't have any mistakes. It's perfect. It's just as true today as it was the moment that God gave it to Moses. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be open, that we would be willing, Lord, as we hear your word and as your spirit ministers it to our heart and soul and mind, that we would be willing to place our lives under its truth. And God, ask the questions, the hard questions of ourselves. Are we believing your word? Are we trusting you? Are we willing to act in faith in relationship to these great truths that you've given us? Or will we be like the Israelites who fled to Egypt for aid? And so, Father, help us, we pray. Open our hearts and minds and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give a few thoughts to begin with this morning on Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, because there's some very important ideas here as we get into this question of rest. A couple things, though, to begin. First of all, work was embedded in creation, and so was rest. It is the design of God for you and for me as people made in his image that we work and that we rest. In fact, we should say it even more appropriately, because the way that the Bible unfolds itself over time is that the idea of rest actually is something that precedes the call to work. In the New Testament, the Sabbath day became the Lord's day. It moved from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. And on it, the Lord Jesus invested it with this power for us to understand that God has given us a day of rest embedded in the creation itself that is to equip and prepare us for the week ahead. I want you to understand something about our culture. It's taken that idea and it's flipped it around and it's made rest the thing that we do at the end of the week after all of our work. And then what happens to us? We start to think that that last day of the week, that day of rest, Sunday, the last day of the week in the minds of our culture, is a day for us to recover. When in reality, God gave it to us as a day for us to prepare. To prepare by resting for the calling that he's given us in life. Another thing I'd like us to see is that God rested even though he didn't need to. Do you realize that? God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. It wasn't like at the end of the sixth day that he was sweating and laboring and his muscles were tired and his back was out of whack and he had to lay down for a little bit of rest. No, God isn't like that. And yet God, even though he is omnipotent, all-powerful, decreed for himself that he would take a day of rest. You might say to yourself, well, I had a good week. I feel energetic. I got lots of things going on. My life looks pretty busy. I don't need to rest today. You know, God would say to you, he'd say, I didn't need to rest either. But you see, your resting isn't just for you. Your resting has a communal impact. So God rested even though he didn't need to. Thirdly, God's resting sanctified the Sabbath day and set it apart as unique amongst the other days. It says he rested, and because of that, that day was declared holy. It was set apart. It was a unique day among its peers. It was there for a different purpose than all the other days. And again, what have we done with that in the modern world? We've taken this day, Sunday, which used to be referred to as the day of Sabbath. It later became understood to be the weekend. And of the days of the weekend in Western culture, Saturday was family day and Sunday is me day. Because Saturday we got to go to all the sporting events and get all the shopping done and the yard work. And so Sunday is my day for me. But God says in his word, you almost got it right. It is my day for me. And I'm giving it as a gift to you, for you to rest, to prepare, to be refreshed, to be restored, to be renewed. I also want us to see that he set aside this day as a specific day to demonstrate his grace to us. You know what the Lord's Day is supposed to be like for us? It's supposed to be a taste of heaven. You ever go to one of those great restaurants and they've got incredible menu, and sometimes in those really fine restaurants they'll bring you out just like a little spoonful of something amazing that the chef has put together in kind of a little 2-inch by 2-inch bite of something. And you get to have that little bite and you're supposed to just immerse yourself in the amazing blend of these incredible flavors, but it's just a bite. It's just a taste. And it's supposed to whet your appetite for that which is to come. That's what today is. One of the reasons we're not excited about heaven is because we have made today a day about us and not a day about Jesus in his beauty. And so why do our children not feel excited about heaven? Why do we get exhausted and tired about the promises of God for eternity that is to come, when all sin and sorrow and shame will be gone forever? Well, because today is like every other day, practically. And the other thing I want to say about Genesis 2, 1 to 3 is that this idea of rest, of Sabbath, that God embeds as the pinnacle of his creation, carries on throughout the rest of the Bible. It keeps appearing, and it keeps growing in its impact and meaning for the people of God. It became a part of the law of Moses, the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment, not the fourth suggestion. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's right there alongside thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You get to the fourth commandment, it's like, oh, we don't need that one anymore. We'll just rip that one out and put it over here because it doesn't matter as much to us today. The easiest commandment to break is the hardest commandment to keep. It's a test. It's a test for us to say, do you really trust me with your days? Do we? God's given us this beautiful design, and he's called us to consider deeply what it means to be a people who rest. The day of rest is a day that is a gift. It's a gift. It's not there to wear us out. It's not there to beat us up. It's a present from God for us to rest. So I want to talk about how this idea expands as the rest of the scriptures open up and consider what it means to be people who rest. What is rest? What exactly is rest? What do we mean when we talk about rest? Well, we could give a lot of definitions, but for now, let's just keep it real simple. Rest is anything that is not work or play. Rest is anything that is not work or play. Now, in the Bible, there's a beautiful myriad of terminology that is used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament to help us understand what the Bible means when it talks about rest. And one of those ideas, and I know this is super simple, people, it's sleep. Physical rest is rest. And make no mistake, it is a gift of God when you get to sleep. Anyone who's had to stay up for 24 hours in a row knows this. You know, we need 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And if you're a child, you need more. But I think a lot of us feel like we can cheat God's design for rest. In the Bible, we see this idea on many occasions, and most amazingly, even in the ministry of Jesus. In John 11 and verse 13, now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest as in sleep. So Jesus was talking to his disciples about the moment when his resurrection would occur, and they kept confusing it when he talked about it with this idea of rest and sleep. And we find on many other occasions that Jesus would go off himself and he would sleep. Remember that great moment on the Sea of Galilee when the storm was raging? Jesus wasn't playing canasta in the front deck. What was he doing? He was asleep in the midst of the storm. Yes, Jesus slept. Maybe we need that one short little Bible verse like Jesus wept. We need Jesus slept to remind us that he actually was a human being that slept. Jesus slept. Paul in 2 Corinthians 7:5 even talks about this. For even when we came into Macedonia, he was on one of his missionary journeys, our bodies had no sleep, but we were afflicted at every turn. He was lamenting the fact that he hadn't been able to sleep because of the incredible pressure that was on them as they traveled around preaching the gospel. And so when we talk about rest, let's not mistake the fact that we're talking about sleep. We need to sleep. And our pride, our spiritual pride, comes to bear when we come to believe that we don't need it. And we deprive ourselves of sleep. Sometimes we don't deliberately do that. Sometimes we do that because, oh, we feel like we have to do this or that, or how can I say no to this thing that's coming my way? But you know, sometimes we have to sleep. And it's actually in the design of God for you and for me that we have to sleep. It's disobedient if we think we don't need to. So physical rest is one kind of rest. Another kind of rest is holy rest. And there's really two forms of holy resting. The first one is the one I was talking about a few minutes ago from Genesis chapter 2. It is cessation from work. That's what the idea of Sabbath is in the Bible. Sabbath is a word that means to cease from, to stop doing something. And so there's this idea of passivity where we step back and we refuse to engage ourselves in something for the sake of something else. And that's this idea of Sabbath. On the seventh day, God Sabbath from all the work that he had done in creation. And when we don't Sabbath, when we believe that this day is a day that's for us, it's not a day that we really need to think about any differently than any of the other days, we are breaking the design of God for our lives. To have one day in seven in which we cease doing what we normally do for the sake of recreation, of renewal, of readying ourselves for the work ahead. The Babylonians and the Assyrians for a period of time in their history, if you look up their historical records, they stretched the week out to 10 days. They decided that their calendar was going to have 10-day weeks. It was easier for them. You know what they found? Their animals, they killed all their animals within 2 or 3 years because they were not giving them that 1 in 7 break. They were giving them a 1 in 10 break. They're wearing themselves out. And any of you here who've had to work and work and work, you might not think it wears you out. You might think you can do it. But when you finally get a chance to take a step back and look, you realize the destruction that it can cause you when you don't cease. In fact, by ceasing, we make the working better. The working is more enjoyable when we have rested. So that's a passive form of holy resting. There is in the Bible, though, this active form of holy resting. That's engaging in spiritual labor for purposes of spiritual refreshment. Psalm 69, when the humble see it, it says, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. So in this idea of pursuing God, seeking God, studying the things of God, pursuing after what God calls us to be engaged in, we find revival, chaya. It is revival for your soul when you are actively engaged in the things of God. And so holy resting sometimes involves cessation and sometimes involves activity. Sometimes it's stopping, sometimes it's going. But you need to have both in your life if you would be a person who learns to rest. That's, by the way, what we're doing right now. Worship. You got up this morning, you had to get dressed, you had to get the kids there, you had to make your breakfast, you had to get in your car, you had to drive here. There's lots of activity in what you did this morning. And now you're here, and I hope you're not just an audience. That you're singing, you're praying, you're bowing your head, you're actively listening, your hands are flipping through the pages of Scripture, you're thinking. That's not passivity, that's not Shabbat. That's this idea of chaya. It's engaging for revival's sake in the work of the Lord Jesus. And so there's physical resting, there's holy resting, and then there's this great idea of relational resting. That's refreshment among fellow resters in the Bible. Oftentimes when you read about this idea in the Bible, it involves food, or it involves touch, or it involves conversation. It's when you place yourself in the context of other sojourners in life for the purpose of refreshment, but it's not work. Okay, and so we have pictures of that. Song of Songs in chapter 2 and verse 5, the lovers are singing the songs to one another, and one of the lovers says, sustain me with raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. Or in Luke chapter 12 and verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, here's a little parable, the master, Jesus, will dress himself for service and have them recline at table. And he will come and serve them. The idea is, think of a meal, a feast. There you are with other sojourners in the faith, and you're leaning on that elbow, and you're eating that food, and you're talking. And who is there serving you? Jesus is the picture of what it will be in the end. And so this idea of relational resting, being with fellow resters along the way. And that's one of the great things about being involved in a church, isn't it? When you can go to dinner with a good friend from church, you can go for a walk together. Maybe you go for a bike ride. Maybe you're just working on the churchyard, or you're in the kitchen doing something. Even in the midst of the activity, you can find this idea of resting because you are with another believer in Christ, and they are refreshing you. Sometimes the refreshment comes through a hug on a hard day. Sometimes the refreshment comes in our marital relationships, where we can look at each other and bless each other, as Song of Songs talks about. So we have this physical rest, we have holy rest, we have relational rest. And then the one final one I want to mention is curative rest, which is distinguished from play by its stillness. Genesis 18, verses 4 and 5, the visitors are there at the tent with the patriarchs, and they say, let a little water be brought. And wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on since you've come to your servants. And so you sit. You put your feet up. Water is brought. Food is brought. And you're still. And you rest. That's hard to do today because we have these cell phones attached to us that go with us everywhere. That even in those moments when we do get a second to sit and put our feet up and sit under the sun and have a glass of lemonade or whatever, bzz, 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 and you just can't resist. It's like, we very infrequently do we in the modern day experience this kind of resting. And it makes us ask the question, why am I so exhausted all the time? Why isn't God helping me? I'm exhausted. I have another group besides you two that I like to listen to. Imagine that. A group called One Republic. The lead singer of One Republic is a believer. Writes a lot of very intriguing lyrics, but he has a song they released recently called Better. He's talking about angst in his life and lamenting that. And he says, I tell myself I'll change. That's right. I tell myself I'll change. But then I begin to realize that the problem's inside my veins. Yeah, it's inside my veins. What he's talking about is the franticness of his life. And he's just, I'm going to start on Monday and it's all going to be better. Everything's going to be fine. But he starts on Monday and it's not. And why is that? Because the problem is inside of him. I saw a church this week. I was driving past their billboard, and this church on their sign out in front of their church said, try harder. Try harder. Come back next Sunday and report. Brothers and sisters, these are truths of God's word about rest. But what I want you to see, and I want you to take with you today, is this. All of these things are given to you as gifts of God's grace. He's calling you into them, not to achieve perfection, not to make yourself better, but to experience his goodness, to rest. Some people might say to me, you know that great little story about the person whose house is flooding and they go up on the roof of their house and somebody calls out and says, you got to get out of here. The flood's coming. They say, well, I'm waiting for God to deliver me. And a boat comes by a few minutes later and there's some rescue workers in it and they say, get in the boat. We're going to save you. He says, no, I'm waiting on God to deliver me. They say, okay, they go by, the water comes up to the edge of the roof, another boat comes by, it's pouring, there's lightning, and they call out, come on, get in the boat, save. They say, no, I'm waiting for God to deliver me. At some point, you got to say, isn't this what God has sent to deliver you? Some of you are out there today saying, I'm exhausted, why isn't God delivering me from my exhaustion? And I want to say to you, he's giving you sleep. He's giving you relationships with other believers. He's giving you an opportunity to sit and put your feet up. He's calling you to stop for today all the things that are killing you. And he's giving you 24 hours today to do it. And in the midst of that 24 hours, he's created a little extra space in the morning for you to come in a state of rest to actively listen. And to be a part of a body of Christ, a family. And he's saying to you, this is my grace. This is my grace for you. Drink of my grace. Eat of my grace. Experience my grace. Get hugged. Share your heart. Enjoy each other. See me in these gifts of rest. It's me. But we struggle. This week, our staff took Friday morning to go away and go to Castlewood Park and to walk and to pray and to read the scripture. And one of our staff said to me that morning, said to us that morning, thank you for giving me time during my work week to do this. And what that person was talking about was the pressure to perform when you're supposed to be on the job. And I said to him, of all people, if we are not spiritually well, how can we lead the church? I'd say the same principle applies to you as a father or mother or friend. If you're not spiritually well and rested in Christ, how can we lead? How can we love? How can we comfort? What has to change today? What has to change in your life today when you go from here? One thing might be simply, when you go home, don't whip open the computer. Don't pull up the list of emails from work today. They can wait till tomorrow. You say, no, my boss will fire me. And I say to you, I get it. Maybe your boss will act poorly. But maybe he won't, or she won't. Maybe you just got to pray in that moment when you're going to pull up that email list. Lord, I am not going to pull this up right now. And today I am going to trust you that you've given me this beautiful Sunday afternoon to get refreshed. And what then? Turn on the football game? Maybe. But maybe that's not what you need today. Maybe you need to open your word and read. Maybe you need to hold the hand of your spouse and take a walk. Maybe you just need to sit for an extended time at the lunch table and talk because you haven't had time to do it all week. Maybe you need to take a nap. Maybe. I don't know what it is for you, but I do know that God gave you today to begin a journey of faith and believe that he's made this time to refresh you as a gift. When we rest well, we are experiencing the grace of God. And that can restore us in a way that many of the other things that the world is telling us are restorative cannot. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, you can't really rest without him. Why do I say that? Because he designed the world. He made it out of nothing. And he made you out of nothing. And like any creator, he understands you better than you understand yourself. And he said to you, I know you're tired. I know sin crowds in. I know it hurts. I'm telling you today, though, that I am the one that can relieve that, and I'm the only one. But you have to have faith. You have to believe. You have to go and say to the world, what you're telling me is a lie. What the Word of God is telling me is true. And if you're ready to do that today, then maybe today is the day of your salvation. And maybe you've been sitting in this church for a long time and you've just never been there. Maybe today is the day that the Lord's calling you to let it go and to find rest in Jesus and Jesus alone. If you'd like to talk about that, I would love to talk about that with you. It doesn't mean it will be easy. But it does mean that even in the midst of the chaos, you can still find rest for your soul. Let's pray. Father, we confess to you that this is a battle for us. We work hard. Sometimes we play hard. But sometimes we don't rest very well. And certainly, Lord, we struggle to rest in you. We struggle to have faith and believe. I ask God today as we reflect on Genesis 2 and the creation design, the way you made us to work, the way you made the world to be, that we would recognize that we just can't keep grinding all the time. We have to rest in you and with you and for you and by you. Lord, I pray for that person that's sitting out there this morning that they have another voice in their head that's just yelling at them that they don't need it. They don't need to do this. Lord, would you calm that voice? Would you speak out against that? Would you block that deceit? And would you give ears, holy ears, to your people to hear what you're calling us to? That is rest. Rest in you. So, Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. You've given us your spirit. You've given us your church and song and prayer and worship and creation and great food and friends and beds to sleep in at night. We are grateful. And we pray that we would see more and more clearly all these things as a part of the gift that you've given to us to rest. I pray this in Jesus' name.